within the first 5 minutes of the argument, it became clear where the judges were going to be going.
To criminalize fornication?
No, no longer.
Would you like to?
The Supreme Court has so far avoided a firm decision on same-sex marriage.
This action not to act represents the de facto Roe v. Wade of sodomy-based marriage.
The Fourth Circuit, the Seventh Circuit, the Ninth Circuit, the Tenth Circuit Court, they all said the same thing about gay marriage. For the first time, a circuit court has said the opposite.
If that court should disagree with the others, then there will be some urgency in the court taking the case.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Our news wrap crew took some time off for the holidays, but we'll catch up on the latest from Egypt, Ireland, Russia, Uganda, China, and the Americas soon after the first of the year. On this week's special program, we look back at major developments in the advance of marriage equality in the United States this year. By the end of 2013, 14 states and the District of Columbia had opened civil marriage to same-gender couples. The number of those states more than doubled in 2014. Equality opponents had always used the best interest of children to defend marriage bans, but those arguments were turned on their head in August by a three-judge panel of the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. And that's where we begin Courting Marriage 2014. Children were at the heart of the arguments about marriage equality in hearings on August 26th at the Chicago-based 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Everyone's been talking about how the three-judge panel, led by Ronald Reagan appointee Richard Posner, pulverized every argument to maintain their civil marriage bans that the state attorneys offered. We've got highlights in a few moments from the Indiana hearing. But we want to start first with some brief comments about those hearings by BuzzFeed's Chris Geidner on MSNBC's Up with Steve Kornacki. The voices you'll hear then belong to Judge Posner, Bill Clinton appointee Judge Ann Claire Williams, and Obama appointee Judge David Hamilton. The victim of their legal rending was Indiana Solicitor General Thomas Fisher. Geidner described what he witnessed this week as something else.
I've been attending all of these arguments across the country, and it was an environment unlike any that we've seen in any of these other cases. I mean, Judge Posner was just crushing each of the lawyers from the two states in their attempt to defend the bans. And then even when he wasn't doing it, the other two judges, Judge Williams, and then there was also Judge Hamilton who was hearing the case, both of them were sort of the nicer version of the same sort of arguments mm-hmm. that Judge Posner was giving. And when we got into it, and within the first 5 minutes of the argument, it became sort of clear where the judges were going to be going. And people started sort of chuckling along as these questions got more and more brutal.
I think the issue here is to deal with what may be a fleeting moment of passion that leads to a child that nobody contemplated. And how do we deal with that? And the idea with marriage is to channel that behavior into a specific institution.
You criminalize fornication.
I'm sorry, what?
You criminalize fornication.
No, no longer.
Would you like to?
I don't know. I mean, it's not an issue here. The legislature hasn't done that for some time.
It sounds like a way of dealing with this unintended child problem.
It's one thing to criminalize.
You don't seem to like adoption as a way of dealing with it.
That is not true. It's not that we don't like it, that we are grateful for adoption.
So why do you prefer heterosexual adoption to homosexual adoption?
We don't.
Of course you do. You give all sorts of benefits to the heterosexual adoptive parents and no benefits to the homosexual adoptive parents.
Well, no, this
you
is
must
not...
must have a reason for that.
Well, the benefits that you're talking about are not triggered based on sexuality. They're based, of course, on marital status, which
yes,
is...
Like, come on now, you're going in circles. You allow the homosexual couples to adopt. Why don't you want their children to have the same advantages as children adopted by heterosexual couples.
We're looking here at an institution that goes back to when, you know, there was a fundamental problem dealing with unintended babies.
Why does Indiana let sterile people marry?
I think the law goes as far as it reasonably can in defining marriage according to this theory of responsible procreation.
We don't allow incest, right?
We allow incest? We don't allow incest.
First cousin.
I'm sorry. Over 65. Yeah, I think there again, the assumption being that there would be infertility at that stage.
Mr. Fisher, can you identify any other contexts of state law besides marriage where you believe that classifying people based upon their sexual orientation would serve legitimate state interests?
Well, first, I have to push back against the premise. You said other. I don't think this is that sort of circumstance. But if the question is, are there...
Well, then we get into the game, is it sex discrimination or sexual orientation discrimination? Surely the purpose here is clear. But let's get past that point,
right,
and please address the question.
No, I don't know of any other.
You agree same-sex couples can successfully raise children. Why shouldn't the ban be lifted? I mean, here are people who actually want to have children. Know they want to have children. It is not accidental. They make that commitment to raise the children. I just don't get that.
Well,
it's another aspect of what Judge Posner is raising.
And I think the working assumption there, Your Honor, is that in that circumstance, the state doesn't need to nudge those couples to stay together. There already is that working understanding. With opposite-sex couples, it may be a fleeting moment of passion that leads to a child. And that's what we're trying to address.
Do you really think you get less extramarital sex or something by this rule? Well, evidence, right?
The policy is not
evidence. You're not dealing facts.
Policy is not formulated with an eye towards jumping in the middle of an understood and well-established relationship. It's formulated with the idea of we don't know what's going to happen with any particular couple, and with the idea that we know that opposite-sex couples...
Well, that's loving, right? Nobody knew how interracial marriage was going to work.
No, I'm talking about the production of babies here. I'm talking about we don't know which couples are going to reproduce and which not. All we know is that opposite-sex couples can you know, reproduce even if they don't intend to on the
heat
of the moment.
But you let all these sterile people marry.
But we don't know who they are. And we can't...
You know who the cousins, right?
We can't inquire.
It's ridiculous, if you don't mind my saying so. You have some 80-year-old cousins who've gotten married, and you say that's a model for family formation, will encourage young people to marry.
Well, I think that's part of it. And the other part...
That front, is there evidence about that model?
No, it's self-evident is the only thing.
I regard it as absurd. You say it's self-evident,
well,
right? Is there some empirical basis for anything you have said?
The empirical basis that men and women create babies, and there has to be a social mechanism for dealing with them.
That was Indiana Solicitor General Thomas Fisher in a losing legal battle with Judges Richard Posner and Claire Williams and David Hamilton of the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Camilla Taylor, Lambda Legal's Marriage Project Director, and Kenneth Falk, Legal Director of the ACLU of Indiana, represented the Hoosier State plaintiff couples.
The reasons for protecting our liberty to choose whom we marry, they have to do with what marriage means as a timeless and universal matter for all of us. And that has to do with dedication and public support and commitment, but it also has to do with the way government provides benefits and protections.
There is no explanation, nor is there possibly one apparent, as to how allowing same-sex couples to marry would in any way affect whatever interest the state has, particularly because the state allows hordes of opposite-sex people who are not procreating to marry. Ultimately, in their reply brief, the state seems to try and expand this notion of responsible procreation beyond the minute of procreation to raising children. But there, of course, as the court has noted out, we reach an even more obvious equal protection problem. Because as far as the child is concerned, that child has the exact same needs and can have the exact same benefit and security from their parents being married, regardless of whether their parents are same-sex or opposite-sex.
Attorneys for the Indiana marriage equality plaintiffs, Kenneth Falk and Camilla Taylor. And finally, a brief but insightful comment from Freedom to Marry founder Evan Wolfson about the Seventh Circuit's Judge Posner.
Judge Posner in 1997 wrote an article in which he was reviewing a book advocating for the freedom to marry. And what he really said was, whether or not there's a constitutional right, and probably there is, It's unrealistic to expect the courts to get too far ahead of the public. The country's not ready, he said in 1997. And here he was leading the charge now in court the other day, saying it's time for this discrimination to end. There is no good reason for it.
It's not the pot that grows the flower. It's not the clock that slows the hour. The definition's plain for anyone to see. Love is all it takes to make a family. The definition's plain for anyone to see. Love is all it takes to make a family.
Courting Marriage 2014 continues after this brief but important message.
Hi, I'm NewsWrap reporter Carol Myers. It's that time of year again, when many of our U.S. listeners consider ways to maximize their annual charitable tax deductions.
And I'm NewsWrap reporter Wenzel Jones. No matter where you are in the world, we need your help. Log on to thiswayout.org to do your part to keep this nonprofit volunteer-based show going.
You'll also find some unique musical, cultural, and historical programming from the This Way Out archives as our way of saying thank you. And those CDs make unique holiday gifts, too.
Please go to thiswayout.org to support our efforts to inform, entertain, and educate listeners around the world. Or postal mail P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA.
From the This Way Out family to you and yours, happy holidays and thank you.
Returning to Courting Marriage 2014, U.S. equality took two steps forward in October, but one step backwards in November.
Maybe if we think and wish and hope and pray it might come true.
The number of U.S. states where lesbian and gay couples can legally marry almost doubled over the course of 36 hours last week. MSNBC News commentator Rachel Maddow recapped the evolving developments on her October 6th program.
The Supreme Court today denied appeals from gay marriage cases in Virginia, Indiana, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Utah. All those appeals were all turned down all at once today, which means that lower court rulings in favor of same-sex marriage rights in all of those five states today instantly became the law of the land. And over the course of the next few days, in six other states where those courts have jurisdiction as well, gay marriage will be legal. The number of states in which gay people can legally get married went from 19 yesterday to 24 today, and it'll be 30 next week. I mean, anybody hoping to run out the clock and get to a brighter, more anti-gay future on the Supreme Court, they're going to have to contend with a country in which not just thousands, but tens of thousands of couples are legally married. And undoing that through the courts by some sweeping anti-gay Supreme Court ruling in the future, that is a prospect of such daunting radicalism, it is hard to even imagine it as fiction, let alone as the future. Today, in Norfolk County, Virginia, the county clerk there had fought all the way to the Supreme Court to keep his constituents in Norfolk County from being allowed to get married there. Today, when his side lost their case and had their appeal turned down by the Supreme Court, Timothy Bostick and Tony London showed up at their county clerk's office to get their marriage license, and they shook their county clerk's hand and told him, quote, "It was a pleasure suing you." The clerk responded, according to a local reporter who was there, quote, "I enjoyed being sued." They shook hands, he signed their marriage license, and Timothy Bostick and Tony London will be married in Norfolk County, Virginia. The day after Oklahoma passed its constitutional amendment banning gay marriage a decade ago, Mary Bishop and Sharon Baldwin sued their state for the right to get married. It has been a 10-year battle for them. They sued in 2004. It is now 2014. Today, they got their marriage license in Tulsa County, Oklahoma. The anti-gay marriage groups are denouncing this as despicable.
This action not to act represents the de facto Roe v. Wade of sodomy-based marriage.
Brian Fisher of the American Family Association.
It's going to be virtually impossible now to stop this press and this push toward nationalizing, imposing on every state in the union marriage that is based on the infamous crime against nature. Their decision today imposes sodomy-based marriage on 11 states that don't want it, that voted against it, that have constitutional and legal protections in their states against the recognition of sodomy-based marriage. And the Supreme Court said, we don't care. It's unconscionable, unconstitutional, and completely, absolutely un-American.
The decision today does not legalize equal rights in all 50 states. They decided this matter, in effect, by not deciding. Oh, but wait, there's more.
The following day, Tuesday, October 7th,
another one of those courts that's one level below the Supreme Court, Federal Appeals Court, ruled that state bans against same-sex marriage are unconstitutional. It was the Ninth Circuit Court, which covers a whole bunch of states in the western United States. Today's ruling from the Ninth Circuit directly overthrew the anti-gay marriage ban in two more states, Idaho and Nevada. But the ruling will also apply to all the other states in that circuit as well, which currently ban gay marriage, Montana, Alaska, Arizona. What this means is that in the course of 36 hours, we have gone from being a country where same-sex marriage is legal in 19 states and the District of Columbia to being a country where equal marriage rights are either legal or in the process of inexorably becoming legal in very short order in almost the whole country. 35 states plus D.C., states that represent 65% of the population. Wow, that was fast. It's now easier to count the number of states where marriage rights are not equal than it is to count it all the other way.
But beyond civil marriage equality, major goals of the U.S. LGBT rights movement remain unfulfilled, including transgender protections and a federal ban on workplace bias based on sexual orientation or gender identity. It's practically the definition of ironic that lesbian and gay couples can now legally marry in most U.S. states, but can still be fired for doing so if word gets out in more than half of them. According to the Associated Press, just 21 states have employment non-discrimination laws that cover sexual orientation, and only 18 also cover gender identity. Meanwhile, political satirist and ersatz right-wing pundit Stephen Colbert wasted no time in lamenting the Supreme Court decision on his Comedy Central Colbert Report.
This is a dark day, a dark, dark day for cultural conservatives like myself. Because on Monday, the Supreme Court refused to hear five gay marriage cases, and as a result, more than half of all Americans now live in a state where gay marriage is legal. While our nation is going to hell in a handbasket, the Republican leadership is going someplace even worse, California.
House Speaker John Boehner will visit California this week to raise money for an openly gay Republican candidate.
And to think, just last year, Boehner said this.
Listen, I'm opposed to discrimination of any kind in the workplace and any place else. But I think this legislation is unnecessary and would provide a basis for frivolous lawsuits. People are already protected in the workplace.
Speaker Boehner is trying to broaden the tent. Here you have the top-ranked Republican in the House, the Speaker of the House, who says, I'm going to go out there for a gay Republican. I think that actually is a powerful message.
That powerful message? Please forget all of our previous messages.
I believe that marriage is the union of one man and one woman. It's what my church teaches me, and I can't imagine that position would ever change.
No, it won't change. Won't change at all. That's what being straight is all about. You pick one position and you stick with it for the rest of your life. Okay? Face to face, lights on, no eye contact. For Christians like me, this is a civil rights issue in that I don't like gay people are getting civil rights. And yes, we anti-gay marriage crusaders may be fighting a lost cause, but 20 years from now, we'll swear we fought on the other side.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
The contrarian U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals broke with four other federal appeals courts on November 6th by upholding bans on civil marriage for lesbian and gay couples in the states of Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee. A day later, lawyers for the same-gender couple plaintiffs in all four states jointly decided to forego asking a larger panel of the Sixth Circuit to reconsider the three-judge panel's ruling and appeal directly to the U.S. Supreme Court. On her program the night of the ruling, MSNBC News anchor Rachel Maddow described the winding road a case must take to reach the nation's highest court.
In the federal court system, at the first level, there are trial courts, federal district courts all over the country where federal judges hear trials. They hear from witnesses. There's a jury, everything you'd expect from a normal trial. One level above that are courts that just hear appeals. At the circuit court level, they don't oversee trials like they do in the lower courts. They just hear appeals from other court decisions. When the appeals courts below them disagree on something, it is the Supreme Court that has to settle the disagreement. And over the last year or so, there have been rulings from a whole bunch of those circuit courts, those courts in the middle, right? A whole bunch of rulings that all said the same thing, that all said that same-sex marriage cannot be banned by the states. The Fourth Circuit, the Seventh Circuit, the Ninth Circuit, the Tenth Circuit Court, they all said the same thing about gay marriage. Well, tonight, for the first time, a circuit court has said the opposite. It's the Sixth Circuit Court that has jurisdiction over Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee. Today, that appeals court there, that circuit court, said that those states can ban gay marriage.
The language used is interesting.
YouTube reporter Christian Bryant.
Judge Jeffrey Sutton began the majority opinion by basically saying same-sex marriage is so close to being the law of the land, it should be up to voters, not courts, to finish the job. It said if the marriage debate is settled by the courts, it would perpetuate the idea that the heroes in these change events are judges and lawyers, and it would be better if the people, gay and straight alike, become the heroes of their own stories. That kind of reasoning seems a little unusual and was quickly picked up by critics. A New York Times editor said, "Who cares about the identity of the heroes of change events? Can most Americans name the lawyers or judges who decided Brown versus Board of Education?" The dissenting judge, Martha Daughtry, was even more harsh. She accused her fellow judges of sidestepping the issue, saying the ruling would make an engrossing TED Talk or possibly an introductory lecture in political philosophy. But as an appellate court decision, it wholly fails to grapple the relevant constitutional question. The Supreme Court has so far avoided a firm decision on same-sex marriage, which is why some proponents say the circuit court ruling could actually further the cause by finally settling the debate. For Newsy, I'm Christian Bryant.
National Public Radio legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg dissected the court's rationale.
This is a question of who decides, and that in these cases, what we're left with is this, that the states had a rational basis, a reason. You might not like the reason, but it was a reasonable reason, so to speak. And that is that by creating a status marriage and subsidizing it with tax privileges and deductions, the states created an incentive for two people who procreated together to stay together for purposes of rearing offspring. That does not convict the states of irrationality, only of awareness of the biological realities of couples of the same sex who do not have children in the same way as opposite-sex couples.
Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg as much as said in mid-September that the High Court would have to consider the issue if there were split rulings among the circuit courts.
So far, the federal courts of appeals have answered the question the same way, holding unconstitutional the ban on same-sex marriage. There is a case now pending before the Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit Now, if that court should disagree with the others, then there will be some urgency in the court taking the case. Sooner or later, yes, the question will come to the court. But the remarkable thing is how attitudes in this country have changed on that issue. And I attribute it to gay people ready to stand up and say who they are. When they did that, people looked around, and it was their next-door neighbor of whom they were very fond. It was their child's best friend, even their child. So people began to understand and realize their own prejudices on that matter. And I think it's the having people close to us say who they are that made the attitude change in this country.
If Justice Ginsburg is right about what the Supreme Court may now be forced to do, a ruling on U.S. marriage equality could be announced as soon as June Pride 2015. U.S. Supreme Court justices will consider a challenge to Louisiana's civil marriage ban at their January 9th conference. All the parties in that district court case have asked the High Court to bypass appellate court consideration. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is nevertheless scheduled to hear oral arguments in that case on the same day. Challenges to the Sixth Circuit ruling that upheld marriage equality bans in Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee could be added to that day's High Court agenda or to conferences scheduled for January 16th or 23rd. But one way or another, it now seems inevitable that the U.S. Supreme Court will be issuing a nationwide marriage equality ruling sometime next year.
Hello, I'm Steve Pride. Join me on the next This Way Out for Pride on Screen, my annual review of the best LGBTQ moving images on screens both big and small in 2014.
And cut! Print. Oh, good. All right, that's a keeper.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. Romanofsky and Phillips, the Beach Boys, and Errol Verse performed most of the music you heard this week, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is brought to you this holiday season and year-round through the generosity of our listener supporters. Thank you. Please give us something to celebrate when you log on to thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. The happiest of holidays from all of us to all of you. And thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 4BI Fortitude Valley, Queensland, CJMP Powell River, British Columbia, Contact FM Hamilton, New Zealand, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station.
Are you kidding me?
Stay tuned.